councillors, ladies and gentlemen, it's gone 5:30, so I'll declare our meeting open. I'd like to welcome everyone, especially those in the public gallery, and I'd like to commence our meeting by acknowledging the Gumbangia people, who are the traditional custodians of this land. I pay respect to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to any Aboriginal people present tonight. Thank you. But I also remind everyone present that under Council's Model Code of Meeting Practice, this meeting is being audio recorded. You should refrain from making any defamatory or inappropriate statements, and the recordings will be posted publicly on Council's website once the minutes are released. And could I also ask that if you have a mobile phone with you, would you mind turning it to silent, please? Thank you. And I would now like to invite Pastor Tim Turner from the Seventh-day Adventist Church, Nambucca Heads, to come forward and lead us in prayer on behalf of the Nambucca Ministers Association. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillors, senior staff, thank you for the opportunity. I'll just pray. Thank you, God, so much that you love us. There's so much that we have in this country. We are such a privileged people. We want to thank you so much for the way that you have led the Nambucca Valley over the last many, many years. We ask your presence now as we continue to plan and prepare and try and promote growth and harmony and health for this community, and we just ask your blessing. We pray also for wisdom, that the decisions that will be made will be beneficial to all. And we also want to care for those who aren't doing so well in our community, those who are being pushed out from rent prices and different things like that, Father. You know the needs that each person has. And we thank you that we are able to meet some of those needs. So we ask your blessing now, that you may be glorified and that the people of Nambucca Valley may be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Disclosures of interest. Oh, sorry, I've missed the apologies. And we have several tonight.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Yes, we have apologies from Councillor Martin Ballengarry, Councillor James Angel, and the General Manager, Bede Spanagle, and we also have absent Councillor Ricky Buchanan.
Thank you. Now we'll have disclosures of interest.
There are no disclosures of interest.
Good, thank you. Confirmation of the minutes, councillors, from the ordinary meeting the 30th of May, moved Councillor Jones, seconded Councillor Wilson. Are there any corrections to those minutes? None. Those in favour? Against, it's carried. There are no notices of motion, but we do have a public forum. So I would like to invite Mr. Alan Manuel to address council. Mr. Manuel is speaking regarding observations and questions in relation to development applications, process and impacts.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, Council staff and general public. I'm going to talk about development applications and... Sorry?
Yeah, we need to...
There we go. How's that? Can you hear? Okay. Yeah, I want to talk about development applications and times of euphemistic use of DA, meaning delays to approval, and the impacts. In every council meeting, we provide with details of development applications that have been delayed for extended periods. Why and at what cost? Because it can be because of viewed breach of council planning rules or guidelines, a result of community objections. The developers are not allowed to proceed but if necessary, legally enforced until they are approved. They're not allowed to progress. The cost of these has been significant to an applicant and at a cost to the community if a development may or may not proceed. And the time taken for decision on matters can significantly multiply the impacts of these. This is what is happening in relation to the long delayed and finally lodged Council's LLP amendments in relation to changes in land use, zoning of intensive farming related constructions, as an example. With the exception being, of course, that while progressing the amendment through obtaining a gateway determination and ultimately changes proposed, Council is continuing to allow the impact and damage of intensive agriculture, blueberry farming and associated use of chemicals up to expansion of building, dams and bores and construction of greenhouses, which, you know, everyone's had a lot of discussion out in the past, so I won't be, you know, pursuing there. But Council must now act to prevent further impacts before final approval and implementation. Submissions to Council often have to be repeatedly provide examples of breaches and impacts. The recent impact submission from the NEM group, for example, provided legal opinion and examples of the issues. These submissions and cross-land development applications have to be ratepayer initiated and not through Council public consultations prior to or preparation of such as LEP or the submissions. Now, there's an accountability element that has to be considered there.
Can I interrupt you there, sir? Are you referring to formal LEP amendments and not the Council not seeking public submissions?
Yeah, I was asking about are there prior public consultations?
It's a legislative requirement that when an LEP amendment proposal, Mr. Walsh is nodding his head, but I'll ask him through the General Manager to step in and correct me if I'm wrong, but under legislation it is compulsory that such an amendment goes on public exhibition. There is a formal exhibition period and submissions have to be received within that period and by the closing date. It is possible, and it has happened in the past, where it's something complex that the Council has actually agreed to extend the submission period and the time for people to make submissions.
That I acknowledge, I didn't clarify.
Well, the reason I ask is that I'm a little bit concerned. What people need to be careful of is preemptively making submissions about something that has to go on public exhibition and will, once the Department of Planning approve it to go on exhibition, because they think they've already made a submission. If they don't make their submission within that period, within the formal period, there is a risk that it won't be considered.
That I'm totally acknowledging. But I'm saying the step before, the fact that something's been submitted to the Minister, the planning has been proposed to the Minister, what public consultation from Council was made prior to lodging that original document which has been sent to the Minister, which I see in the notes says they now need further justification of the proposed amendment. So what I'm saying is what consultation occurred for that, not I acknowledge the subsequent consultation that occurs. That's what I'm referring to.
Sorry.
I totally acknowledge what you're saying.
Okay, because as you're aware, you've obviously read the report.
Oh, yes.
If the Minister agrees to allow the Gateway proposal to proceed, the very next step is public consultation. It goes on public exhibition. And again, I'll look for Mr. Walsh to nod his head. I think it's a legal requirement that that all submissions have to be considered prior to any decision being made.
The LLP amendment process, so yeah, very much so. It's just
sorry to interrupt,
no,
I just wanted to make
it's
sure.
It's just that without it, sometimes what could be put forward to the Minister to even make that determination may be influenced if in fact public consultation may have added something to it. And it may help in fact the subsequent justification that's now being asked for. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Okay, I did have a question about the process and when we're going to get the determination. Well, we've got the feedback to say we've got to wait, so let's see how we get the determination. Yeah, in just something, I'd been shared a copy of some responses that we've got, that NEN got, I should say, relative to their legal opinion they got. In response to, there was a recommendation for councils to get audits of existing greenhouse structures, tunnels and netting, as it being, the response was that council had conducted them and currently holds aerial photography of enables compliance action to be taken. The questions there are, the photos on the provided link have been indicated to me were taken up to 6 months ago. Are they ongoing? Are there ongoing audits underway and are they current? Because in some cases there's visual photo where it's a certain element, but then you've got further degradation or changes. A council saying they support councils' greenhouses are in breach because it says the photography enables compliance action taken on any greenhouses erected without approval. So it's indicating, in fact, that is a requirement, even though we're talking about the consultations. What action is taken, and is there any classification exempt and not exempt? You know, with the EPA, in the response it came back to a couple of proposals about engaging ergonomists or hydrologists, it was proposed that in fact that the NEN group undertake those. Is that indirectly saying the impact of growers, farmers provide evidence and expert opinions? And one of the risks, of course, even the EPA asked it, do they give credit to the people who are doing those observations? Are they biased? Are they fair? So part of the process is the impact of development applications is what is the complete process and have we got it right and can we always improve and can we look at it? Because some of that I've been present on, I think one you actually commented a number of weeks ago, had been in almost 2 years, the development process. So the indication that the cycle, and it has been indicated the cycle for the LEP, for example, could take another 12 months or more to do it. So the impact there is obviously the stated or provided examples of impact on the environment, the economic issue. I mean, we've already got, driving through the town street, the number of businesses that are closed. Are people going to invest in the area while we've got doubt? Now, there's a retirement village, which you're aware of, has been talked about. One of the providers of that is now actually subject to foreclosure potentially because he's been delayed and now impacted by the blueberries. Now, in relation to while we're waiting for the process, it was raised at the council meeting at Scott's Head on delivery of the legal opinion. The question was asked, why wasn't council putting in place a moratorium on the new blueberry farms development and associated instructions while the consultations LEP process were being progressed? It was advised that the approval of the minister would be required for council to act. At the meeting and subsequent meeting, councillors, and there's a number of councillors I've actually directly spoken to, I've approached about why has council not sought to pass a motion to request the interim approval from the minister? I mean, council's always passing motions. Why could it not pass a motion to ask the minister, can you give us interim approval to put the moratorium in? Why has that not occurred? As I've been saying, the defects of DAs with delays in approval of LEP, DCP, passing of motions and other approvals have associated costs and impact. And in closing, who will be responsible for any compensation claims that may be made for those, including any inaction of something occurs? Because it can be someone's action or failure to act having been made aware of potential liability, and that's not a council but an individual level. We have that same issue at a house or when we're running our business. So thank you for the opportunity, and I look forward to helping to actually participate and let's get this progressing, because I still plan, even despite all this, to retire up here and make Nambucca the place it wants to be and needs to be. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Manuel. And, before you leave the podium,
no problem.
First of all, I just want to ask a procedural question, because I'm sure you were actually sent the notes from the Code of Meeting Practice. Because it's a public forum, you're not able to ask questions of the staff because I haven't had notice. But I do note that you asked considerable questions in your general presentation. I just want to check with the Acting General Manager. And I understand you've provided your speaking notes to the staff. Will the speaking notes that were provided be sufficient for a staff member to respond to questions written? Or does Mr. Manuel, same as we had happen at the last meeting, if Mr. Heap is here tonight? Doesn't look like he is. I had to ask him to commit the questions to writing and send them to the General Manager.
Yeah, as I say, so I'm happy to. What I wrote was the points I'm talking to. I've got some assisting notes, so I'm happy to send him a copy.
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Yes, there's more detail in that speech that was just provided, so if we can have those additional notes.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. I've got totally honest on what I've said, some public records.
Well, I'm just trying to actually ensure that the questions you've asked, that the staff have time to consider them and provide an answer.
Totally understand that. I'd regard it. I prefer to consider response than just a response.
It's got to call for a report.
Does it need to be a I was just assuming that he would write and get a written response and write back. That would be quicker. Okay. I'm quite sure Mr. Manuel will distribute it if there are other people interested in it. It was just suggested the alternative is for a councillor to call for a report, but that will take, might be three or four meetings before you get a response, whereas a direct email with the questions listed, I think, might be the quickest way for you to.
Well, otherwise we would only be promulgating exactly what I've been talking about for the issue.
That's what I'm trying to avoid.
And I know, I'm just saying, so and I appreciate that.
And before I ask councillors if they have any questions, I would like to point out that although I understand that people get frustrated with the time it takes for DAs to be processed, in my 20 years' experience, the usual issue is either an incomplete or not terribly well-prepared application, or hold-ups with government agencies. And I just think it should be publicly noted, and I actually have the turnaround times here. The gross average DA assessment times are actually recorded by the New South Wales Office, the Office of Local Government report on it, and I think so did the Department of Planning. And Nambucca Valley is way ahead of Clarence, Coffs Harbour, Bellingen, Kempsey, Port Macquarie, by a country mile on our, even though we're a small council, on our DA assessment turnaround times. And the state average last year was 107 days. This year the state average was 110 days. Nambucca Council's was 45 and 38 days respectively. So across the state, I have to say that despite your...
Sorry, that's why I asked the question.
I didn't view it as a direct criticism, but no, despite your comments,
why?
Yeah.
So you could enlighten. You've actually answered the question why, which is what it's about. But thank you.
Well, if anyone reads the outstanding DA reports and looks underneath, you quite often find that the reason a DA is still outstanding is because some DAs have to be referred to state agencies like Transport for New South Wales or the old RTA. Most of them have to go to the Rural Fire Service for concurrence, is that the word? Or general terms of approval. And quite often, everything's ready to go, but we have to wait until those agencies get back to us.
I'm familiar with the process, partly for the general audience, who don't necessarily know that process. So that's really the basis of our put the questions, because quite often you walk in the street and someone says, oh, that's cancelled, those things, that.
It takes so long to get my DA through, yes. Well,
my presentations here is not just for councillors, for the wider audience, so everyone's across it, rather than the whinge in the pub corner and then criticisms behind people's back or otherwise.
I understood that there was a Dorothy Dix element to my response to you, so that others or anyone listening to the recording will also hear that, because Nambucca Valley Council does very well in terms of our assessment times. But I'll now ask if any councillors have any questions. Councillor Jones.
Yeah, Dorothy might get a bit of a run tonight, Madam Mayor. I was going to ask Mr. Manuel if he had... I'll call you Alan. I'll ask Alan. If he has any other examples. I was the chair at Scott's Head who made the comment, read the interim sort of like amnesty or whatever you want to call it. And my response was, to the best of my ability, I should have said, that I wasn't aware that that was possible. Now, I wouldn't mind asking staff if there's any... You can't
ask questions of staff in a public forum.
I mean, it's
but
just,
you can follow it up later with written notice.
It's just my experience. It's sort of... You can see from a procedural point of view, Madam Mayor, I don't know if you've ever heard of this occurring, but when you have a gateway determination going in, to put in as much there might be merit to it, I'm not arguing that, I'm arguing that it was a process that we simply could not do.
Yeah.
That's just my experience, and I didn't want to sort of fudge the issue. I just think, you know, we want clarity around that. Have you, Alan, any other example where a council has applied to the minister to do that sort of... I know from a lot of ways it makes sense, and I can see the merit in it, but can you see my point of view? Is that we're hamstrung by a process that probably doesn't allow it. Have you any other examples where...
I have in Sydney, where there were some, and it was viewed, they went to the minister as a matter of urgency, that the process was going to have potential adverse impact, and they sought, it was almost like a dispensation or an exception, but it had to be that the council, so it wasn't just an individual, so councillors acting on behalf of the residents were making the request to the minister to give them some authority because of the adverse impact of...
Okay. Was that a development or a change to the planning scheme? Because what we're talking about here is a change to the planning scheme.
Yeah, no, I appreciate what I was looking at, and I appreciate the ongoing debate of whether it's already allowed, not allowed, you know, to defer, you know, require DAs or require suspension. That's always a talking point we have. In that case, it was actually a subdivision area, but was going to have significant pollution impact because of industrial subdivision.
Okay.
And was going to pollute the area, and eventually wound up doing so.
Okay. If I could, Madam Mayor, through you, ask a couple other questions. I mean, one of the difficulties that we hear, we seem to have this contrary legal advice, and have you seen the Coffs Harbour advice around DAs for around the blueberry issue?
No, not the final opinion. And this is where the question was raised. The actual legal opinion that council received here didn't address, the alternative opinion is saying it wasn't covered, didn't cover everything, it wasn't totally complete.
Yeah.
I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not prepared to comment about lawyers' opinions. I mean, they are weld them to themselves and get very precious.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, look, I'll probably leave it there. I mean, there are a range of issues I wouldn't mind somehow addressing. The fact that we can't ask staff makes it difficult. I could call for a report, but...
I know you did ask similar questions today. Did you receive Mr. Walsh's response
and a copy of the... I'm cautious of... Am I allowed to talk to that?
You can do is ask questions of the speaker.
Yeah.
However, if as a result of the presentation from the speaker there are further questions you'd like clarification on or you want to follow up, by all means, commit them to an email. You can copy Mr. Emmanuel on your queries if you like, the whole reason is public forum, there's no business paper, there's no report.
Yeah.
So they're essentially questions without notice.
Yeah.
And as you're aware, under the Act, as the Chair, I'm not allowed to permit questions without notice.
Look, I totally respect that, Madam Mayor. I mean, what you know and what I know, I'd like to share with the public, because I think there are some issues that are pretty well black and white.
Yeah.
And the fact that we can't
I understand what you're getting at, and I'm very tempted to say that even the minister, unfortunately, has to abide by the legislation. And usually the only way to change the legislation for a minister is to put something before Parliament. And if you think an LEP amendment takes forever...
Yeah. Yeah. They'll retire by the time they get through that.
Yeah, well, people on either side of the fence are protected by the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act and what is permissible and what is not permissible. Having said that, we're all well aware that interpretation of what's in that legislation is what, dare I say, the legal fraternity make their livings from, or that and other legislation. So, I mean, the question regarding whether there is an ability is one that you could probably send to the General Manager and have our staff research.
There's a few other issues. Well, look, Madam Mayor, I'm going to move that we call for a report because there are, and I'll just do dot points because there are two or three issues that are key.
Yeah.
Sorry, the Minute Secretary, I haven't prepared this. So what I'm going to call for a report into the gateway determination.
Sorry, you need to be specific. Are you referring specifically to the gateway determination for the LEP amendment on intensive horticulture? That's terminology.
And if I could ask council staff to comment on... Okay. And we might go dot points here. The idea of the interim amnesty, is that... the appropriate language?
Moratorium.
Can I help you out?
Absolutely, go ahead.
All right. Council call for a report in relation to...
Yep.
..the gateway determination... the LEP amendment to, Mr. Walsh, intensive horticulture would cover it?
Horticulture.
Full stop.
I should say, if possible. Yeah. Right, staff coming on. The interim amnesty possibility?
Well, on ministerial approval.
Yeah.
Did staff comment on the possibility of ministerial approval for
an interim moratorium?
Sorry. On any particular type of development?
Yeah,
it's probably...
We'll throw it wide open because...
But, well, if I say horticulture, you might want to say only intensive, or if I say intensive, others might want to... You want an opinion on the principle. Ministerial approval for...
The next dot point would be...
The rest of that sentence.
On any form of development. What you're after is whether the minister can step in, if he's asked, and say no more of this type of development for X amount of time or until such and such happens.
I was asking for the authority for the council, for the minister to give the council authority put a moratorium, as a thing from a specific moratorium on development, to give you the authority as an interim.
Well, I think that's covered because the council, it's talking about the council and ministerial approval.
Yeah.
So I think
council
people,
authority, yeah.
Yeah, that would, I think people would interpret that as a minister giving approval for the council.
To make the determination. Yeah, just when you're talking, it seemed implied that it was a... He's making decisions on particular development as distinct from giving you authority to make.
No, well, that's why it says ministerial ministerial approval, and that's why I suggested any form of development.
Isn't that too broad?
Yeah, I was just looking at who's making that decision.
I can't take comment from the public gallery. Please refrain.
Yeah, I'll just clarify.
Sorry, sir.
I'm just clarifying that I was looking at the minister approving council to make the decision as seen from the minister making that decision. I don't know if I'm being clear enough. I don't know if that's true.
It's Councillor Jones's motion. So, Councillor Jones, do you want to sort of add something in there to
with this, Madam Mayor, is I want it to be as broad and as wide as possible, because if it can't fit into a hole this big...
Which was my suggestion, that you don't just...
It won't fit into a hole this big. Mm. So rather than just talk about something specific, I wanted it to be as broad across the whole planning scheme. Mm. Is this possible?
Yeah, we want to know whether the minister can give a council permission to put a moratorium on any particular type of development if for whatever reason the council requests it, and presumably it would be because of a major community issue.
Yeah. We're on the same page on that.
I think that's...
didn't say exactly what you just said at all.
Anyway. Yeah. Secondly, the next one.
I just want to make sure Councillor Jones is happy.
I'm happy with that, because...
You're happy with that wording?
I wanted it broad as I could for that reason. Sorry.
Thank you.
Will the LEP, if successful...
Sorry, will the amendment...
Will the amendment... The LEP amendment, if successful, if successful, will the LEP amendment allow for DAs for horticulture, intensive horticulture? Yeah, can we have slash intensive horticulture?
So, yeah, it's the same thing.
Same thing? Right, it doesn't matter. Anyway, put it in there. Allow for the requirement of DA.
How about, if successful, will the LEP amendment allow council to require a DA horticulture? Does that cover it?
Thank you. And then if I can have a second sentence after that, and will that allow the capture of height, structure, distance buffers, anything else anyone can think of?
Councillor Jones, please don't invite comment from the public.
No, I was talking to my fellow...
I'm sure you're asking your fellow councillors for any suggestions.
Buffers. And, I think scale of or percentage of land, if that makes sense, or...
Sorry, percentage of land?
How much the building or the structure can take up on, whether it's a certain percentage.
Land occupation of the land.
That's not really scale. That's it's like the footprint of a building in terms of its...
That's right. We have it in town. We have it in the...
Yeah, there's a word. It's like when you want to build a farm dam, you've got a...
Footprint?
Calculate. Floor space ratio. It's a floor space ratio, which is the floor space compared to the size of the block.
Footprint ratio we'll put in. We'll know what we mean. Okay, any other councillors, feel free. Could I have another one? We have had a lot of discussion around the COFS approach here. I ask council staff to comment on the implementation and effect. Oh, sorry, Michelle, they're already commenting up above. Thank you. From an effect of the Coffs Harbour experience, read DAs.
The council.
Do we need to go broader? I think Coffs are the only ones who've tried, aren't they? Bellingen haven't done the DAs.
No.
Okay. If I can have a second, or I'll speak to that. Yes,
can I just
free, Madam.
Like, this is going to be, a public document. Can I suggest that the wording just be reversed? So it should be that the report comment on.
Yeah.
other than staff, that it be reversed. In other words, report on City of Coffs Harbour Council's experience in implementing the requirement for DAs.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor.
I think it's just a little bit.
First language was Welsh. We do everything back to front, so. Not joking, that's actually true.
Look, I know how hard it is when you're trying to capture the wording but do it on the hop and you haven't got time to sit there and.
Thank you, Madam. If I could have a second, or I'll speak to that. Thank you. If anyone wants to help or add or join on.
Okay. Seconded Councillor Janvey. Okay. It's open for discussion. When I say open for discussion, remember, councillors, you're discussing the motion, which is for a report. This is not an opportunity to start debating LEP amendments or anything else. So unless you're speaking either for or against receiving the report, Councillor Janvey.
Just like to make an amendment to the motion.
You can move an amendment.
Or if Councillor Jones is happy just to accept what I say and just include it in his motion. But it's just, if we could have staff also.
Councillor Janvey, can you bring your microphone a little closer, please?
Sorry, it's not turned. It's just some comment from staff would be appreciated on what would trigger a Land and Environment Court determination on this issue, you know, so that we can, all councils could have clarity in this space, seeing as it's only considered an opinion at this stage on the ancillary buildings. So if staff could comment on different triggers.
So you're talking court action? It's obvious that to have the Land and Environment Court make a determination, someone, whether it be council or someone would have to actually initiate court action. I mean, that's we all know that.
Well, is there?
You're asking whether there's been
a
precedent?
Spreading of the if there's a precedent or whether a spreading of the risk in order to trigger a court action by a combined kind of approach with different councils affected by this.
But who would councils take on in court? I mean, councils, would do exactly what is being suggested, an LEP amendment. Then you don't need to go to court and cost your ratepayers an arm and a leg.
That's proper right, process but at this stage, Coffs Harbour has the trigger because they've supposedly got in their rural land strategy an ability to implement DAs, and if they chose to ignite that trigger, which they haven't done, I mean, and if the Land and Environment Court's the only place that can resolve whether these are opinion or not, what is, you know, the differing legal advice? I mean, how do we get clarity so you can actually implement the Act, as in how do we provide environmental protection and orderly economic development if we can't have a DA?
Again, that's precisely my point. If a council follows a proper process under legislation, puts forward an LEP amendment, puts it on public exhibition and adopts the requirement to lodge a DA, then the council, the minister has to sign off on that. The council's LEP is actually legislation. It's a legislated document. So while ever we're abiding by that, we or any other council who does the same thing would be protected by their document. It's only when someone challenges whether you've not interpreted that properly or gone outside of it. And again, you know, the people who would, like, all councils need to do is do the same thing and leave it to those who don't like being asked to lodge a DA. To me, it would be up to them to challenge the council's position. But if all of the councils have done it properly under the legislation and have the minister signed off on, it becomes legislation. So it's the law. Yeah. So whether horticulture people don't like it, that's the law.
Yeah, but at this stage it isn't the law. So it was just a comment on what could, you know, what are the triggers or what is available for council in this space if...
So,
if
yeah, but what are you asking? Are you asking the staff to comment on what would trigger a Land and Environment Court challenge or case, regardless of who... Okay, well...
Just to comment on it, you know, they
Do you want to add an additional point? Because the heading's also report on. Potential circumstances that would trigger a Land and Environment Court...
Action, yeah.
Action regarding requiring a DA for horticulture. Does that cover?
No, I think that's... I'd be comfortable with that.
Happy with that? Okay.
That's what we're trying to get at.
I'm not quite sure, or whether Councillor Genvey's asking whether councils get together and take it to court. Well, you don't need to take it to court. If you've done all the proper process, you do the proper process and you leave it to someone else to challenge. Like, who are you taking to court?
Well, you would. There's a possibility that you could take someone to court who's not complying. I mean, this is...
Oh, definitely. But only after you've gone through the process and having amended. If you tried to take someone to court for not complying when you haven't required... when you haven't spelt out and had the minister sign off and made it legislation that under your local environmental plan, which is what an LEP is, ADA is required, well, you'd get done like a dinner in court. But if you follow the proper process, adopt it in your LEP and it's signed off on by the minister, then you require it, and if someone doesn't like it, they challenge you in court
Madam Mayor. We're trying to flush out that process because... You know, anecdotally, we all know what's going on.
But Councillor Jones, you're just happy to have that rather than amendment.
I'm happy with that.
Cut off the staff because the whole thing is potential circumstances that would trigger a Land and Environment Court...
this case, if you like.
...challenge to requiring a application for horticulture. I think that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's right.
Like potential circumstances that would trigger a Land and Environment Court case. There's hundreds of different...
Yeah, I mean, I suppose I'll talk to it in a minute. There's one other point I was going to ask. Do we need, or does Council need... Sorry, Rochelle.
So is this an additional point?
Additional point.
Wait till Rochelle's got that one. And I just want to double check that it's still, the wording is still in accordance with what Councillor Genvey was looking for. Requiring a development app or a DA for horticulture.
Well, maybe it's just case law to clarify this issue.
Okay. Sorry, it should be Land and Environment Court proceedings. That's the proper terminology. Sorry, Rochelle. Court proceedings. Proceedings regarding requiring a DA for horticulture. It needs to be now.
My next point's probably going to be...
Sorry, Councillor Jones. Councillor Genvey, are you happy with that?
You.
Thank you. And you're happy to accept that?
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
As a dot point rather than amendment?
Absolutely.
And now you want to add an additional dot point.
One more, and this one will probably be a fairly easy one. Does Council need a land use strategy?
Sorry, can I suggest report on the need for
a land use
strategy?
To link the LEP to DAs. I mean, that. I know what I'm trying to say. The other people might not. Again, there's evidence that the land use strategy can be a tool in your LEP linking to your DAs.
So, are you
or it's a rural land strategy? Would it enforce your gateway determination?
Force it? No.
Well,
no strategy is going to enforce a gateway determination.
But it backs it up to say...
Support it.
I think you mean inform.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it should be the need for a rural land use strategy to inform the LEP?
No, I think it's...
Can we have the LEP / DAs and let the... Because I want the link between... Sorry, Madam Mayor, I should...
Well, the LEP is what the DAs are assessed under.
No. Or, okay, well, we'll leave
or
it that
it's the LEP you want to inform, not
a
rural, DAs.
A land strategy, so therefore you're not that invested in this space.
Yep.
So
sorry, but councillors, you've got to remember the legal process. It's the LEP that is the legal document that DAs are assessed under.
Okay.
So it's the LEP you want it set, trying to achieve what you're trying to achieve. You want it any informing coming from that strategy, you want it set in the LEP,
yeah,
not DAs, because that would be wide open for challenge, because the DA, it's the LEP that the DA is assessed under.
If we can get rid
so
of...
So you have your LEP, your development control plans, and your DAs are assessed under them. The yeah. LEP is statutory. There is room for consideration or... what's the word under the DCP?
Consideration.
Merit consideration, yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. So if we can get rid of the after LEP for DAs and just have a full stop after that. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Mayor. I appreciate your
Well, if the Rural Land Use Strategy comes up with something that the council feels is important, it's the LEP you want it to inform, because the LEP are the rules. And then your DAs, however the strategy has informed the LEP, if the council adopts that into the LEP, every DA that is ever received has to be considered in accordance with what's in that LEP, if the development pertains to that type, that land use. Yeah.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm comfortable with that, Councillor Jenvey.
Yeah.
I don't think we've finished asking Alan questions either. Sorry, I jumped in.
Sorry, well... okay. I'm just aware that we have another speaker. So are there any further questions for Mr. Manuel? I have a suspicion between this report and his... written questions that he will send in, that we've probably covered his areas of concern. Is that correct, Mr. Manuel?
Thank you. And thank you for the opportunity to participate in formation of this. My offer was taken up, and I look forward to the future opportunities.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, everyone, for the patience, but it is it is difficult when you're trying to word motions sort of on the hop, but it's also important that done properly, and also they provide clarity for the council staff as to exactly what it is we as a council are asking them for. Okay, so we have a motion on the floor. So if there's no other discussion, I'll put it. Those in favour? Against? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. Okay. Councillors, we also have a delegation to item 10.1, which is the 2024-25 annual budget, long-term financial plan, revenue policy and schedule of fees, and that's Mr. Greg Desmond. Mr. Desmond is speaking on behalf of, or speaking to, the Taylor's Arms Sports Reserve submission. Welcome, Mr. Desmond, and thank you for your patience. Please.
Madam Mayor, councillors, staff, members of the public, thank you for the opportunity to address council this evening. I'm currently the chairman of the Taylor's Arms Sports Reserve Committee of Management. The Reserve Committee has conducted a number of meetings with council staff to find a funding pathway forward for the Taylor's Arms Sports Reserve Master Plan, which was endorsed by council last year. This also included an on-site inspection very recently. To date, to the committee's knowledge, there are no funds allocated to progress the plan. council staff have advised us to approach council requesting a variation to the 24-25 council draft budget to address the issue. We have organised a list of funding priorities as discussed with council staff. Number one, Taylor's Arm Road drainage planning, hydrological planning to formalise pipe drainage installations and overland flow path creation to ultimately divert water from the sports reserve and alleviate drainage issues. This may be able to be funded from already allocated survey and design investigation funds held within the technical services portfolio, we would advise. Estimated at $10,000 includes catchment calculations, hydraulic analysis of pipe flow and sizing of overland flow grass swales. This issue is of huge concern for our committee. The majority of the water issues on the entire reserve area is caused by water runoff from the council-owned road easement. With no curb and guttering, the water simply comes down the hill off the road and flows onto the reserve. It will be difficult to implement the master plan, which has been approved and adopted by council, without putting in appropriate drainage through the reserve to carry the water from the road, plus water which pools on the reserve away in wet conditions. Number two, costing and prioritisation of the concept design report. This would ultimately amend the concept design report to a costed and prioritised master plan. Estimated at a cost at the moment at $5,000, but this needs to be confirmed by a request for a quotation through the external market. Three, pavement design and estimation. Funding source similar to the item two above to provide guidance of installations of two key items five noted in the plan, which is the future road access to the current primitive camping area and road adjacent to the north of the tennis courts. Estimated at a cost of $3,000 to provide a designed set of road plans including thickness and turning path assessments. Number four, relocation of existing play space. Moving the existing play space closer to the tennis courts. Estimate to be determined post-inspection and a current estimate of $20,000. Number five, amenities upgrade planning. Investigation and planning to upgrade and upgrade the existing amenities building for a disabled compliance. We were advised that council have undertaken similar recently for the VWorl amenities and allocation of approximately $20,000 would be required to draft plans, provide detailed estimates and prepare tender paperwork to go to market. With this information on hand, this would be suitable for a future grant funding application. At this stage, there is no disabled access to the amenities. Number six, a barbecue provision estimated at $9,000. And number seven, a shelter provision for the barbecue, a simple lightweight shelter including a ground slab of estimated of $15,000. Total funding requested of $82,000. These figures above are obviously all estimates which we discussed with council staff and would need firming up if these functions are procured externally. There are a number of interested parties who are supporting the progress of the plan. The RFS shed is also located on the grounds. Recently, our Secretary Julie Gooch spoke with RFS Superintendent Liz Ferris, District Manager, Lower North Coast, and she indicated that the RFS would reinforce their commitment to supporting the upgrade of facilities at the ground and would advocate with RFS on gaining financial support as the concept progresses. In the 2019-20 fires, the reserve was used by numerous residents who had to evacuate their homes. The reserve was used by firefighting helicopters and their pilots as a refueling area and downtime. Our local school, Medlow, uses the tennis courts and playing field on numerous occasions during the course of the year for tennis lessons, athletic carnivals, cross-country events and fun days. The Department of Education has also approved the reserve as an evacuation safer place. New South Wales Health has held community events at the reserve, bringing locals together to discuss health issues. Emergency services has also found the ground of use as it is one of the few open flat areas around where their helicopters can land. Of course, the Nambucca Cricket Association also uses the area during the season. The Taylor's Arm Field with its natural ambience is a great place for their game. And it must also be noted that The pitch will be upgraded very soon along with the practice area. And of course the Taylor's Arms Vietnam Veterans and Peacemakers have their cenotaph and memorial at the entrance to the reserve and have played a significant role in supporting the plan. And due to the reserve's obvious proximity to one of the most popular tourist attractions in the area, the Pub No Beer, it is frequented regularly by campers and various groups of campers, plus it also often accommodates overflow of campers for various pub functions. The majority of times the visitors come from throughout the state, Australia and sometimes overseas. This gives further reason for the facilities at the reserve to be at a standard that reflects what is on offer throughout our beautiful valley. It is also significant to once again mention that the Taylor's Arms Valley is the largest catchment to the valley, and residents would appreciate immensely facilities closer to home rather than doing a trek of hours to the coast for recreational facilities. To conclude, on behalf of the Taylor's Arms community and the Reserve Committee, I wish to publicly thank the Council for adopting the Master Plan. It gives the Reserve and future management committees a pathway and direction for the future. We, the committee, believe this introductory sum, which we're asking for in this submission, can only place the Master Plan in a much stronger position when opportunities of greater funding arise. We look forward to Council's favourable consideration to this matter and endorsement of our estimated costings for the upcoming 24-25 year. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Desmond. Councillors, are there any questions? Mr. Desmond, I'd just like to check with you, having a look at the list of items, yeah. And having reviewed the master plan that we adopted, I went back and had a look at it. Would you say that probably the larger, or the key priority is resolving the drainage issues first, because a lot of your master plan is requires structures that, and I've been on the reserve after wet weather and seen how boggy it gets. I've actually seen vehicles bogged on the reserve. So
the whole process of me just standing up here and talking is basically we need a way forward. So, and obviously drainage is going to be key for a start. And obviously, like the prioritisation of the plan too, and getting a pathway forward so we can get ourselves in a position to absorb grants when they come along.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also, I'm not sure whether you're aware, but in response to your submission, your submission was responding to what went on public exhibition.
Yeah.
But in the report that's before council tonight, you're aware that there's a recommendation for a $10,000, which is double. But the staff's view was that that may well be required for the detailed costing.
Yeah.
But you'll also note that the staff's comment was that a number of the other, perhaps not such significant amounts of money are suitable for grant applications.
Mm.
But again, the first thing a grant, a funding body asks for is the detailed design and costing, which the I'll let councillors know now that I intend moving an additional dot point to the recommendation, but I can't do that until we actually get to that, in relation to the possibility of some additional funds that might be available. So if there are no other questions for Mr. Desmond from any other councillors, thank you. Now, councillors, what we normally do is when we've had a delegation to an item that's actually on the agenda is bring it forward, but councillors, could I have a motion to bring forward item 10.2 and 10.1 in that order? If I can get a seconder, I'll explain. Seconded, Councillor Jones. The reason is 10.2 is setting the rates and charges. 10.1 is adopting the draft schedule of fees, which includes the rates and charges. So hopefully we can deal the rates and charges reasonably quickly, because you'll have all seen them. Anyway, that's the reason. So those in favour of bringing the items forward, against, it's carried. Okay, so for expediency, councillors, can we go to item 10.2, making of the rates and charges, which is on page 33 of your business paper. Moved Councillor Wilson. Seconded Councillor Vance. Councillors, I need to draw to your attention that there have been some minor changes to the wording in these recommendations, but there are no changes to any of the amounts. The wording changes are only to make clearer what the wording actually means for the, there was some terminology and so forth. It spells out in more, or makes, clarifies to anyone, any member of the public reading these recommendations what it means. You'll recall the original one had properties will be charged one additional charge unit, and because members of the public don't necessarily know what that means, this actually spells out how it'll be charged. So mover and seconder okay with that?
Yeah.
It was, there was also a clarification because the original wording was up to three and then three or more, but it wasn't quite clear if you had three whether you were in the first part of the fee schedule or in the second. It's just wording changes to make it clearer. None of the actual fees that you will have read in the body of the report and in the original recommendations have changed. So if there's no discussion, I'll put it, those in favour. Against, it's carried. So we'll now go to item 10.1. And I'll move the recommendation as is with the additional point three. I've given the minute taker. Thank you. So point three is not increase, councillors. It's been seconded, so I'll speak to it. It's not adding to the budget deficit, but councillors are probably aware that council received, what was it, $1.3 million in February under Regional and Local Roads Repair Program and $1.86 million under Regional Emergency Road Repair Fund this year, which is what the original program kind of morphed into. Now, as far as I'm aware, the majority of that has actually been earmarked or allocated for expenditure, but there may be something left over or something unallocated, which is why I'm asking for a report. So point three is not changing the draft budget amounts or increasing the deficit. It's quite possible that some funding might be able to be found within our general fund to kickstart the drainage work that, to me, first thing we need to do is get some money put towards solving this drainage problem.
I agree. Yeah.
So that's the reason for that. And obviously the staff will report back on what might be possible. Okay, so if there's no other discussion, Councillor Janvey.
Well, I'd just like to support your point three. It makes a lot of sense. It can't really move forward very well without fixing up that drainage. So it would be good to see it fitted in within some of our existing allocations or for roads and that sort of thing. So I endorse that. If we're going to discuss any of the other budgeted submission items, I'd just maybe like to make a little comment about the implementation of the post bill, where residents are able to pay rates at a registered post office across Australia. Just wanted to say this is quite important for Barrowville. There's elderly people there, some of them aren't driving like they used to, and really struggling to be able to come in to pay rates. So, and also, you know, anyone else who might be away at rate time, it's very convenient, I suppose, just to pop into a Australia Post anywhere in Australia. And many of our neighbouring councils do this, so it's just good for that amenity at Barrowville in particular, I know, and it's something they've wanted. So I support it for that reason as well.
Well, my understanding is Barrowville was a key reason that the staff actually recommended this, because with the closure of the BCU and...
Can't pay rates at the bank anymore, so yes.
Yeah.
And I guess the...
Yeah, I've got a note for that.
Protection cameras, yes. surveillance in order to protect some of our assets and stuff, I guess, is the way forward. So slightly sad, but maybe that's the future that we live in. I mean, people were telling me tonight that the today that the fish sculpture at the V-wall's been vandalised a couple of times, and, you know, so, yeah, it seems like something we have to spend money on.
There's been several separate incidents over a period of time, and there's also been some requests, I believe, from police for some assistance over not damage to council property, but other crimes.
Yes.
That better surveillance would help. Okay. Councillors, you might have received, or you will have received, a copy of a submission that also came in from the Ewan Guy Hall Committee of Management. It was in relation to, well, they'd raised concerns about an increase of 4.3, council requiring them to increase their fees by 4.3%. But if I may, through the General Manager, I think it's important that Mr. Webb explain the actual impact on their fees and charges.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll refer it to the Acting Director of Corporate Services, Evan Webb.
Through the General Manager. Thanks, Madam Mayor. Those fees that we're talking about the hire fee for the hall has gone from $7 to $7.50. For the kitchen, hire for 3 hours has gone from $20 to $21. And for the the casual hire has gone from $10 per hour to $11 per hour. So we're really talking very minor changes. It's just the committee have just requested that they want to get those charges be increased. So, very minor.
Yeah. I'm wondering whether it was the 4.3% that concerned them and they hadn't realised that the maximum impact was going to be a dollar increase in the fee.
Well, it's good to stay on top of your funding, Madam Mayor. Every dollar counts when you're on a little committee.
Well, and again, when you're on a little committee, every dollar does count, and when there's an opportunity to have a slight increase, that hopefully a dollar is not enough to deter someone from wanting to hire the facility. But again, that dollar counts. Anyway, I just thought I knew you'd all had that submission and it wasn't, so I did ask Mr. Webb to follow it up. Is there any other discussion on this item? I think we've covered everything. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Okay. We go back to page 17, right at the beginning, item 9.1. Moved, Councillor Genvey. Seconded, Councillor Wilson. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 25, item 9.2. Moved, Councillor Genvey. Seconded, Councillor Wilson. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 40, item 10.3. Moved, Councillor Jones. Seconded, Councillor Genvey. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 43, because there's no late reports from Corporate Services. Page 43, item 11.1. Moved, Councillor Wilson. Seconded, Councillor Vance. Any discussion? Sorry, Councillor Janvey?
Don't know whether it's this one. It's the next one.
Okay, those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 46, item 11.2. Moved, Councillor Janvey? Seconded, Councillor Vance. It's open for discussion, Councillor Janvey.
Through the Acting General Manager to the Director of Environment and Development. The railway square, it's going from one big block to five or something. Have we got an idea that like B7 shops and it's proposed or it's just the subdivision?
Thank you, Councillor. Thank you, Councillor Jimmy, for your question. I'll direct that through to the Manager of Development Environment.
I think, I'm not sure about Mr. Walsh, but I think the rest of us need some clarification as to which particular development you're referring to.
Open it.
We're on item 11.2.
Oh, 11.2.
Yes.
Didn't mark it. It's 11.3.
I thought it might be, yes. Yeah.
Sorry. It was just in my mind in one of these, so yeah, hadn't marked it.
Any further discussion on item 11.2? Oh, sorry, Councillor Janvey, were you a mover?
Yes, I was.
Still happy?
Yes, I am.
That you were moving the thing you thought you were moving? Thank you. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 47, item 11.3.
I'll move it.
Fifth, Councillor Janvey. Seconded, Councillor Wilson. Discussion, Councillor Janvey.
Yes, through the Acting General Manager to the Director of Planning. The proposed subdivision from 1 into 5 of Railway Road, Nambucca Heads. Would you mind updating us on what's happening there? Would you be able to?
Thank you, Councillor Janvey. I'll direct that question to the Manager of Development Environment, Daniel Walsh.
The General Manager, Councillor Janvey, it's a 5-lot subdivision of the existing site. It's a commercial site, a productivity support site. So it's not a commercial core site. So they haven't nominated future uses or future development on the land, just the subdivision layout to enable smaller scale uses to be put through as development applications on that land. So permissible uses include office buildings, smaller retail type premises, cafes, restaurants, breweries, that sort of thing.
Nice. And we can expect maybe accommodation on top of that, possibly? When you get up? No?
With the General Manager, no. It's not a place for accommodation. It's more bulky goods retail, mixed with those office commercial type uses, but there's no residential uses.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Walsh. No other discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. And there are no late reports, so could I have a motion to go to closed meeting? Moved, Councillor Wilson. Seconded, Councillor Vance. Have there been any public representations regarding entering into closed?
No, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Tape off. Thank you. Councillors will now resume in open meeting, and I'll ask the General Manager to read the resolutions made in closed meeting.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Item 12.1, tender T011-2024-SPT112425MNC, Wood Waste and Green Waste Mulching Services. Moved, Councillor Jones. Seconded, Councillor Janvey. Council resolved that Council 1 award the tender submitted by Davis Earthmoving and Quarrying Proprietary Limited for tender T011 /2024-SPT112425MNC for the provision of wood waste and green waste mulching at the Nambucca Waste Management Facility for the period 1 July 2024 to 30 June 2026. Part 2 includes a provision in the contract for a 12-month extension based on satisfactory supplier performance, which may take this contract through to 30 June 2027. Part 3, once the contract is executed, update the contract register. Item 12.2, tender T012-2024-SPT122425MNC, collection, sorting and removal of scrap metals. Moved, Councillor Hoban, second, Councillor Jones. Resolved that Council 1 award the tender submitted by One Steel Recycling Proprietary Limited, trading as Matthews Metals Management / InfraBuild Recycling for tender T012-2024-SPT122425MNC for the collection, sorting and removal of scrap metals using lead acid batteries and associated refrigerator / air conditioning degassing at the Nambucca Waste Management Facility for the period 1 July 2024 to 30 June 2026. Part 2 includes a provision in the contract for a 12-month extension based on satisfactory supplier performance, which may take this contract through to 30 June 2027. Part 3, once the contract is executed, update the contract register. Item 12.3, tender T013/2024-SPT132425MNC concrete, brick and tile crushing services. Moved, Councillor Jones, seconded, Councillor Genvey. Council resolved that Council 1 award the tender submitted by Davis Earth Moving and Quarrying Proprietary Limited for tender T013/2024-SPT132425MNC for the processing of concrete, brick and tile crushing at the Nambucca Waste Management Facility for the period 1 July 2024 to 30th June 2026. Part 2 includes a provision in the contract for a 12-month extension based on satisfactory supply performance, which may take this contract through to 30 June 2027. Part 3, once the contract is executed, update the contract register. Item 12.4, matters regarding realised or potential losses. Moved, Councillor Vance, second, Councillor moved Councillor Wilson, second, Councillor Vance. Council resolved that Council notes the information concerning incidents where there is a realised or potential loss of funds and or reputation.
Thank you, Mr. Sykes. And there being no further business, I'll thank everyone for their attendance and for their patience tonight and their courtesy, and declare the meeting closed.